What's Shaking with Shaner presents Psycho Bob says,
meow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first installment of Psycho Bob Says, brought to you by What's Shaking with Shaner. Psycho Bob the Cat is the co-host, producer, and engineer of What's Shaking with Shaner, and usually he has a lot of things to say. In order to give him a bigger voice, we will be releasing these little 10-minute episodes in between our larger ones, and these installments will be based on topics picked and written by Psycho Bob himself. And I am Shaking Shaner, your host with the most, and we don't mean to boast, but Psycho Bob and I are rocking this thing from coast to coast. To find all of our episodes and links to the locations where you can listen to What's Shaking with Shaner and Psycho Bob Says, head over to our website, ShakingShaner.com. That's right, ShakingShaner.com. There you can discover our larger catalog of episodes. Really, Bob? Catalog? Here we go. Let's jump off into the mind of the cat with the chill personality and who literally is the genius behind What's Shaking with Shaner. Bob, this is just terrible writing. No one is going to find this shit funny. If you are like me, you often wonder what Psycho Bob is thinking, or even what would he say if he could talk? Well, hey, guess what? You are in the right spot, as today, Psycho Bob says, what's the deal with the half-naked statue of George Washington? If you've ever been to the Smithsonian American History Museum in Washington, D.C., and gone to the second level, then you have seen the large marble sculpture, also known as Enthroned Washington. The seated and sandal-wearing Washington gazes sternly head off into the distance, and he is bare-chested with his right arm and hand gesture with an upraised index finger toward heaven. His left palm and forearm cradle a sheathed sword, symbolizing Washington turning over power to the people at the conclusion of the American Revolutionary War. And yes, believe it or not, George is wearing a toga and is naked to the waist. Apparently, Mr. Washington worked out a lot because he's pretty ripped up. Yeah, he's a little cut up. He even has a washboard stomach. Hey, Bob, I have a washboard stomach. No, really, I do. Yeah, I do. It just has a few loads of laundry on it right now. Psycho Bob says, well, who wants to see a half-naked George Washington? Actually, as it turns out, no one really wants to see that. To honor the centennial of Washington's birthday on July 14, 1832, the U.S. Congress commissioned Horatio Greenough to create a statue of Washington for display in the U.S. Capitol in the Rotunda. The statue arrived in Washington, D.C. from Italy on July 31, 1841, and it immediately generated controversy and criticism once it was installed in the Rotunda in December of 1841. Many people found the sight of a half-naked George Washington a bit offensive, yeah, maybe just a little, and even comical. Gotta tell you, first time I saw it, I was like, what the hell is this? Because of the sculpture's weight and the dim light inside the Rotunda, supposedly, the statue was then relocated to a pedestal on the east lawn of the Capitol in 1843. Yep, it didn't even make it 2 years inside the Capitol before it was kicked out and placed on the lawn outside. However, disapproval continued, and many people joked that Washington was desperately reaching for his clothes. So after that criticisms and critiques, the statue was yet again moved to the Patent Office several blocks to the north of the U.S. Capitol. However, it didn't remain long there, as the statue was brought back indoors to the Smithsonian after Congress authorized its transfer by a joint resolution on May 22, 1908. It remained there until 1964, and was moved to the new Museum of History and Technology, now known as the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. The statue has been exhibited on the second floor of the museum ever since. Psycho Bob says the statue appears to have been a catastrophe of epic proportions. Oh man, that's just bad. Believe it or not, there is more to the enthroned Washington. Toward the back, there are smaller statues on both sides, and it is explained that one is Christopher Columbus and the other is a Native American, which represents the old and new world meeting together. However, if you take a closer look at the so-called Christopher Columbus statue, it appears to be an old man with long hair and a long beard dressed in a toga holding an orb. It also seems, at least to me, that the man is blind. This looks nothing like Columbus. It looks more like a seer or an ancient prophet or a wizard or a sorcerer. This whole statue and then this representation of Columbus just seems really out of place and extremely odd. Fringe author David Icks has noted that the statue of Washington bears a striking resemblance in its pose to the famous illustration of Baphomet, drawn by French occultist Eliphas Levi. Both have the right arm pointing skyward and the left pointing downward in the manner of the alchemic phrase, as above, so below. Therefore, Icks suggests Washington's statue is an illustration that he is somehow an evil incarnation of Levi's satanic imagery. But it really should be known that Greenough's statue predates Levi's image by at least 20 years, which didn't appear until 1860 in his book, Transcendental Magic. And it is noted that this book was never intended to be satanic in any way, just a discussion on magic. This theory makes sense in reference to the Columbus statue, but overall, really not plausible, although it is well understood that Washington was a Freemason. But an evil satanic George Washington? Come on. You gotta be kidding me, right meow. Bob, really? Lastly, on the sides of the throne Washington is sitting on are additional images, and on one panel appears to be baby Hercules killing snakes, and on the other side is a Greek or Roman soldier driving a horse-drawn chariot. The sculptor, Horace Greenough, said that this statue of the enthroned Washington was originally based on Phidias' great statue of Zeus Olympus, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world and destroyed in late antiquity. The original design of the Washington Monument by Robert Mills was supposed to have a Greek-style temple topped by a sculpture of Washington in a chariot and pulled by six horses. Greenough's statue looks strikingly similar to the posture of Washington in Mr. Mill's conceptual drawing. The outstretched hand that holds a sword would have actually been holding the reins of the chariot. It is very probable that Greenough likely designed the statue as a demo to get the entire commission of Washington driving the chariot and four horses for the monument. However, as we all know, none of that made into the original design of the Washington Monument. Psycho Bob and I say thank you for checking out this very first installment of Psycho Bob Says, What's the Deal with the Half-Naked George Washington Statue? We will have a link to the Smithsonian site to view the statue in a 3D format on our website, shakenshainer.com. So please head over there and take a gander at this statue in 3D for yourself. It makes sense that the statue is based on Greek mythology and style and architecture, just as most of DC actually is. For example, the U.S. Capitol, the U.S. Supreme Court, and several other buildings around DC with the pillars and that striking architecture. I know this sounds weird, but hey, as luck would have it, the next episode of What's Shaking with Shainer is a discussion on the 1997 Disney movie Hercules, and we discussed Zeus and ancient Greek mythology. Kind of a weird thread tie-in there, huh? Join me and my good friend Randy in this amazing Greek geek out. The episode will be out in just a few days, so hey, keep an ear out for it. Thank you for spending some of your precious time with Psycho Bob and Shaken Shainer. But before we close this thing out, Psycho Bob wants to give a shout out to a friend of his, Kat Pernicus, and his girl, Cleo Catra. Until next time, Psycho Bob says, press pause and live in the here and meow. And I, Shaken Shainer, says, hey, thanks again. And until next time, when we meet again on a journey into the passion and madness of the geek, the nerd, and often the absurd. Thanks.